Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. As one year closes and a new year begins, it's always good to look back over the past year and not only count our blessings and our gratitude and our gratefulness to the Lord for all He has done, but also to look inside and see how we, who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are growing in grace and are being transformed by grace into the reflection of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, growing from grace to grace. I want to share with you today four turning points and how in the last few years I've been growing in my understanding of God's grace and how that has changed both the way I've thought and taught about God's grace and how it's slowly changing me and how I seek to walk in the light of God's grace. I need to first start by sharing with you how all this began in the head when I was trying to wrap my mind around a deeper understanding of the doctrines of grace and in particular God's sovereign grace. It was years ago, several years ago, when my pastor was teaching through a sermon series through the book of Ephesians, and as I was listening and following along in my Bible, I was just struck and stunned with the clarity of God's word, particularly in those first 14 verses in Ephesians chapter 1 that lay out so clearly that as part of God's people, His saints, that God had chosen me before the foundation of the world to be blessed with all the spiritual blessings in Christ. I just couldn't get over that or ignore what God's word was clearly saying. I remember going to the church library and picking up the commentary on Ephesians so I can read and study some more. I would listen to the sermon and then go over it again in the commentary, walking through the book of Ephesians chapter by chapter. I don't want you to think that this was like a 1-2-3 shoot process for me, because it wasn't. It probably was even over a period of several years, a couple years, and further study and so forth. And that's because long-held views die hard, and a deeper understanding of God's grace grows slowly. But when it's implanted in the rich and fertile soil of God's word, those roots grow down deep and they grow strong. I'm still growing in my understanding of God's amazing, unlimited grace from eternity past to eternity future, and I probably always will be. I love studying it because I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. God's grace, both for me and to me, amazes me. There are at least three takeaways in how, in this first turning point, my growing and my understanding of God's sovereign grace has impacted me personally. First of all, it's humbled me. I mean, why me? Why would God choose me before the foundation of the world to be blessed with all the spiritual blessings in Christ, to belong to Him, and to be His people? Secondly, it has anchored me spiritually like never before. I realize now that my spiritual growth in Christ, it's not about me and my striving and my straining or even my spiritual long to-do list or spiritual disciplines. No, because God sees me positionally in Christ as already there. I recently was sharing this with my CEF staff at a meeting that we had, where we were looking in particular at Romans 8 and what the theologians call the golden chain, that whom God foreknew, foreloved, He predestined, and those He predestined, He called, and those whom He called, He justified, and those whom He justified, He glorified. And I shared with my staff that I thought it was interesting, it was curious that the word sanctified or sanctification wasn't even mentioned here in these verses in Romans 8, because my justification and one day future glorification is already a done deal positionally in Christ right now, and it's all because of Christ and not because of me. When I was 4 years of age and I believed in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I wasn't justified a little bit and had a little bit of the righteousness of Christ. And then when I was 15 years of age and I rededicated my life to the Lord, I wasn't justified a little bit more and had a little bit more righteousness. And then when I was 30 and then 40, and now I was getting close to almost 50, a little bit more, a little bit more. No, at the very moment when I believed into Christ, I had given, imputed to me the very righteousness of Christ, having all the righteousness that I will ever need to be in a right relationship with Holy God, not because of me, but because of faith in Christ alone. Thirdly, not only has this humbled me and anchored me spiritually, it gives me a deeper perspective, like a multifaceted diamond, and seeing just another glimpse of God's amazing sovereign grace. It's all by God's grace and His grace alone that chose me, that upholds me, that holds my heart to Him. And it's all by His grace and His grace alone that will take me home, leading me every step along the way. The second and third turning point for me in growing in God's grace was seeing Christ in all of Scripture and the application of teaching God's grace, especially to others. Both of these kind of run together for me because it really took place on the same day when my pastor was doing a special training for all the Sunday school leaders and teachers a couple years ago, both for the adult and children's workers. I came and I remember seeing there the large chalkboard and the two dry marker boards on the sides that he used, and I just couldn't get over how my pastor was teaching to see Christ in all Scripture through the unfolding message of redemption that is like the big picture highway, and seeing where we're at in the creation, fall, redemption, and consummation storyline of the Bible. And at the same time, we need to see those individual mile markers along they're strewn along the Scripture highway that both individually and all work together to all point us to see Christ in all Scripture. I remember almost wanting to leap out of my seat as I was listening to the training saying, yes, yes, that's it. You see, for me, this was like fine-tuning the dial on a radio to bring in the station more clearly so the message can be heard loud and clear. Because of my background and being raised and trained in CEF, I have long been on the gospel station teaching gospel-filled and gospel-centered Bible lessons almost all my life since I was a teenager from both the Old and New Testament. But now I saw that I needed to fine-tune my teaching to be centered on Christ, because Christ himself is the gospel message. He is the gospel of grace and the whole point in the message in all of Scripture. But then the question is, how do you take this Christ-centered teaching on the message of grace and in Christ alone and apply it to those who are saved, for those who have believed in Christ, or for, in our terms in CEF, the saved child that has believed in Christ? As a Bible theology and Christian education major, I have long held that most Sunday school curriculums that are out there are, first of all, devoid of the gospel, except for at Christmas and Easter time, but that's only like for two of the 52 weeks of the year. And secondly, most Sunday school curriculums also be and do our children to death. They're like what my pastor calls the deadly bees, be good, be like, be disciplined, or what I sometimes call the killer bees, because the Spirit makes alive, but the law kills. It's as if we teach our children after they come to faith in Christ alone that now they have trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, that now as a believer they need to be this or be that or do this or do that or don't do that. That's legalism, and it's pure spiritual poison. It's like taking the gospel and flipping it upside down. Before a person believes in Christ, we tell them the gospel is all about grace, and there is nothing that they can do on their own in themselves to be right with a righteous and holy God. The gospel is all by faith alone, in Christ alone, and all by God's grace alone. But then suddenly, when they believe into Christ, trusting in him alone as their Lord and Savior, it's like we pull out the gospel grace rug out from underneath them and turn and say, now it's all about you. Your spiritual growth is all on you and your spiritual disciplines, and you know, you just need to try a little harder. That is nothing less than divorcing the gospel from the root of the gospel, which is the gospel of God's grace. I now believe that every spiritual growth application for those in Christ must be rooted in Christ and rooted in the gospel of God's grace in Christ as a simple overflow of who we are in our position in Christ. Take, for example, the simple spiritual discipline of why we should read our Bible every day. Do we just check this off like our spiritual to-do list? Or is it because that we see that we need Christ, we need his word to shine the light of his grace into every area of our life, to show us anew why we need his grace and continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of him who is our Lord and Savior? The fourth turning point of growing in grace that I wanted to share with you and to close with is, for me, much more personal. Last year, my pastor preached a sermon from Philippians chapter 1 about how our whole life and every area of our life is to be Christ, for me to live Christ. He asked for a response that day, and I was just one of many probably who raised their hand, but I put up my hand to say, yes, that is what I need. That's what I desire. That's my heart's desire. I want for me to live Christ in every area of my life. I had no idea what God was sovereignly preparing me for that was going to happen just a few weeks later, and it wasn't my long-awaited knee surgery that I had been waiting for the past 8 months. No, it was the open heart surgery that God needed to do in me, in my own heart and life, to show me things that I didn't even see, but that I needed to see, and to show me more of his grace. To make a long story short, it's as if I found myself in the middle of an earthquake with my world cracking and crumbling all around me beyond my control. But God was using all this shaking in my life to open me up to the very core of my being. But when I got squeezed from all sides, it wasn't Christ that came out in me. It was me, and it wasn't pretty. I remember last year giving to some of the people in my life a copy of a book that I have recently read to give to them as a gift. But even though I wrapped each gift in love and wrote sweet words in the front inside cover of every book, I was really writing sweet words of nothing, because the true intent in my heart was to really say, you need to read this book because you have some serious gaps of grace in your life. But now I see that I was the one who had gaping gaps of grace, and the only book that people in my life needed to read at that moment and to see was not in a book, but in seeing Christ in me and seeing God's grace lived out both in me and through me and responding to them by giving them His grace for grace. I'm not saying that everything in my life is healed up, because there are still tremors and the fault lines in my heart are still there, and they are deep and numerous. And there are so many more cracks in my heart that I don't even want to think about or see. But I praise the Lord as I look back for showing me just some of these deep chasms and canyons in my own soul that He needed to point out to me so that I would know more of His grace, and then so He could fill me up with His grace and begin healing me from the inside out. I now know if there was another call for response for me to live Christ, I would put up my hand again, because I know I can trust God's sovereign, amazing, unlimited grace, and even His stubborn, tenacious grace that upholds me and holds my heart to Him, because He will take me there, leading me from grace to grace. Thanks again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week as we continue to seek to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and making Him known and His amazing grace to others, including the future generations, growing all together in His grace as He leads us from grace to grace.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
It's easy to assume that most children in our country will hear the good news of Jesus at least once before they're teenagers. But less than a quarter of kids in most states even attend church, and those who do may never have someone to make the gospel relevant to their lives. There is just a small window of opportunity when children are most open to the Lord. But how can you even begin to reach them before the world does? The doors of your local elementary school can be open, and Child Evangelism Fellowship has the key. CEF has the training, tools, and staff dedicated to helping you reach children for Christ. After school good news clubs are bringing God's word to the children where they are, in the public elementary schools.
It's really made a change in my life.
For more information, go to cefonline.com. That's cefonline.com.
For more information, call CEF of Illinois at 309-688-9699.